Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin, Daf Samach Dalad, and we will begin in Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We had learnt at the end of our previous shiur about different situations where people have namonis. People are trusted to make different statements, offer different testimony. So the Gemara continues, quoting from the Braisa that teaches us these halachas. It says the Braisa, Nemen Bal Mekach, a seller of merchandise is trusted. This is the person who purchased this item, and this is not the person who purchased this item. We have here a fundamental machloikus rishonim as to why the seller has this nemonis. Rashi explains, because since we know that if somebody agrees to sell something to someone and then he doesn't stick to his commitment, he is subject to a klala, or misha paramidor amabel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who punished the dor amabel, who yifra, will punish the individual who doesn't keep to his word to whom he would sell. And that is the reason why this person is trusted, because he is the subject of a mishapara. Other Rishonim suggest, and this is a continuation of the Braisa that we learned yesterday, that under certain circumstances, Chazal gave certain individuals namonis. Just like we discussed and will discuss, a midwife is trusted, a mother is trusted. Here too, this is one of the people that Chazal gave a namonis to. And Tosis pshat in the Gemara is that it's a migui. Migui, that the person could have said, I didn't sell this item at all. He is believed when he says, I sold it, but I sold it to this and this individual. Continues the Braisa, the Medvar Amurim, when does the seller have this namonis? Bezmach shemecho biyadoi. When the item that's under discussion is still in his possession. Av ein mecho biyadoi ein neman. If it's no longer in his possession, he no longer has that namonis. Says the Gemara, v'nechzi zuzim iman nokit. Why don't we see, asked the Gemara, who paid for the item? And the Mefarshim explained that based on the explanations that we quoted a moment ago from the Rishonim, in the reason why the seller has the namonis, that's how we're going to understand the Gemara's question, which means as follows. According to Rashi, that he's Nema because of the Mishapara. According to the Rishonim, that Chazal gave him a namonis, the Gemara's question is that namonis should continue by seeing who paid for it. And therefore, why is the Braisa saying that if he no longer has control of the item, he doesn't have namonis, why not? That's how the question of the Gemara will go according to Rashi and those other Rishonim. According to Tosfos, however, says that the namonis is based on a migui, the Gemara's question is, why does he have a migui? Just because he has a migui to say that I didn't sell it, how could that migui be acceptable when we see that somebody indeed paid for this item? And as the Mefarshim go on to explain, according to Tosfos, the Gemara's question is that a migui should not be acceptable here because it should be considered like a migui b'makom edim. That we know Chazal, that the halach is that a migui b'makom edim isn't effective. Answers the Gemara, l'tzricha d'nakam et havayu. Our Gemara is referring to a situation where we received money from both customers. However, v'machad medatoi v'chad makarchi, one gave the money the seller accepted the money willingly, and from one he accepted it against his will. He was only prepared to sell it to one of the customers. However, he doesn't remember who was the customer that he accepted and who was the customer that didn't accept. And therefore, no matter what pshat that we learn, we could understand the Gemara's teretz. If we're going to learn pshat is because it's a migui, we still need to rely on the migui, Why do we have to rely on the Migu? Because we don't have Edim, because we don't know for sure who was the customer that paid for the item. And if we're learning the other pshat of Rashi and the Rishayim, we can't say that we should rely and see who paid for it, and that should give him the namanas, because they both paid. Continues the Braisa. Again, another situation where Chazal gave namanas. Chazal gave a namanas to a dayin to indicate who won and who lost the din Torah. And again, here the Rishonim make a number of very important comments in helping us understand the Gemara. Certainly they indicate that our Gemara is not referring to a situation where we have a bezdin of three dayonim. When we have a bezdin of three dayonim, certainly the bezdin is always neman under all circumstances. In fact, the Rishonim suggest that not only when we have a bezdin of three dayonim are the dayonim always going to be believed, but even if we started with a bezdin of three dayonim, and now we're down to two of the three remaining, and two dayonim indicate that this was the party that prevailed, and this was the party that lost, certainly we accept the testimony of the two dayonim. Our Gemara, however, here is referring to a situation where there was only one dayan. The two parties to the din Torah accepted the judgment of one dayan. And now the question is, how long can, and that is a dispute, what was the psak din? So the halach is that the dayan is trusted to say, this individual prevailed and this individual lost. And here too we have a machloikis harishonim as to why. Some rishonim, following the line of reasoning that we've been learning in our Gemara, suggest that the reason he's neman is because Chazal gave nemanus to a dayan. Another pshat is that, as we explained, our Gemara is referring to a situation where the two parties accepted that this one dayan should be trusted to Paskin, this Shaila, on their behalf. And what the Gemara is saying is that included in their decision, included in their accepting this individual, is the fact that they have the right to, that this Dayan has the manas to say who won and who lost. However, says the Gemara, the Medvar Amurim, how long does the Dayan have this manas? As long as Bali Dinim Amdim Lefanav, as long as the litigants are still standing in front of him. However, Aval Ein Bali Dinim Amdim Lefanav, once they're no longer in front of him, Ein Neman, he no longer has that Nemanus. Ask the Gemara, V'nechse Zuzi Z'chusim Manokit, why don't we see the document that indicates the ruling and following what that document says? And again, here we have a Machloikis Rishonim. What is the Gemara's question? Some say the Gemara's question is on the Reisha, that the Reisha says that we trust the Dayan to say who won and who lost. But the Gemara's question is, why are we relying on what the Dayan says? Why don't we look at what the document says? The other way of learning, which is the way most Mepharshim learn, is the Gemara's question is on the Sefer. The Braisa says that once the litigants are no longer standing there, the Dayan no longer has any nemanis, and the question is, why does he lose his nemanis? Why don't we look at the document that indicates the psak of the Dayan? The Nesivis and the Tzais ask a question. Our Gemara is saying that a Dayan's nemanis ends after the Balidin, after the litigants leave. Says the Gemara, Mesachtek Subis, the Shulchan Aruch discusses a situation where a woman comes home and tells her husband she asked the Rav a Shaila, and the Rav said Tor or Tamei, and then the husband approaches the Rav who was supposedly asked, and the Rav says that he paskin the opposite of what the woman is saying, or he never paskin the Shaila at all, and the Aloch is that the Rav is trusted. The question is, based on our Gemara, why do we trust the Rav? Doesn't our Gemara teach us that once the Balei Din, once the litigants are no longer there, we don't trust the Dayan? He has no longer any nemanis. So the answer, there's a very fundamental difference between that situation and the situation of our Gemara. In that situation, in our Gemara, we have two people making a claim for the same money. So since we have two individuals making a claim for the same money, the halach is we're relying on the dayan to issue a psak. So the halach is we only rely on the dayan, as our Gemara is teaching us, as long as the balei din are standing in front of him. Whereas in that Gemara, it's not a situation where we have two people fighting over the same money. It's a question that's being asked to a Rav. There the halach is that the Rav can be trusted to say that he remembers what he said, or that the situation never happened. So back to our Gemara's question. Our Gemara asks, why don't we just look at what the document that indicates the psak says? Answers the Gemara, "Vaytzricha dekriya zechusayu." Our Gemara is referring to a situation where that document was ripped up, and we therefore can't check it. Ask the Gemara from the head of the diner, why don't we just conduct the din Torah all over again? And as the Rishonim point out, the Gemara's question of a negative and a dainu means to say not that we should allow the people to present their claims again, because certainly that would not be acceptable, because if we'll give the people who made their claims a chance to repeat their claims, well, there's always a concern that they'll recognize that some of the claims they said in the original din Torah, they didn't say, they didn't articulate them properly, they didn't work in their favor, and people will change their stories to make the new din Torah work in their favor. So that's why the Gemara's referring, say, to Rishonim, to a situation where although the Psak Halacha might have been torn up, we don't have that document, but the documents on which the claims of both litigants, the minutes of the court proceedings in which both sides presented their claims, continue to exist. And the Gemara's question therefore is, why don't we just ask these people, why don't we just redo the Din Torah? Answers the Gemara, b'shuda the dining. And here too we have a machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand shuda the dining. Rashi explains shuda the dining means that sometimes there's a Din Torah which is not based specifically in halacha. The example given is where somebody came, where somebody left a will that all of his money should be given to Yaakov. And two Yaakovs approach Beis Din, arguing, each one saying that he is the Yaakov that the person who wrote the will meant. It is now, according to Rashi's explanation, the job of the Dayan to make a decision, who did this person really mean? It's not based on what the halacha says. The halacha doesn't discuss such a situation. Therefore, we don't allow, that's why it's not a regular din Torah that could be redone. Ask Tosfos, or Rashi, it was the original psak of the Dayan was based on what the Dayan thought this person meant. So why can't we redo the din Torah? And presumably, the Dayan will come to the same conclusion. Says, that's Tosfos Kasha on Rashi. The Pnei Yeshua, in attempting to defend Rashi, says that since, as we said, this psak was strictly made based on the logic that the Dayan is applying, the logic, people think differently at different times. Tosfos, however, explained Shuda the Dayan to mean that in such a situation, Chazal gave the Dayan the authority to make the decision who should get the money and who should not. And based on his decision, no logic is required. In fact, I saw Rishonim suggest that according to Tosfos, the wording is shaykh to the Dayan. It's like he's taking shaykhad. There's no real rhyme or reason to the basis of his psak. And therefore, there's a real concern that when it will be redone, he'll decide to give it to a different party, and therefore it's a din Torah that can't be done over. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Shloshin Amanam al-Bukhar, the three individuals that are trusted regarding a Bukhar to determine that this child is a Bukhar. Elohim, Chaya, the midwife, Aviv v'imoy, his father and his mother. Chayu, as we learned in the previous years, la'alter. As we saw yesterday, either Tanakam holds la'alter as only as long as the midwife did not leave the room. And Rav Elazar had even a stricter opinion. He says as long as she is still paying attention to the baby. If she's no longer hadar apo, if she turns around from the baby, she no longer has the namanis. Imoy kol shiva, his mother for all of the first 7 days of his life, aviv l'olam, his father forever. And as a machloikis rishonim, what is the basis of the namanis that his mother has? Some explain that the namanis that the mother has is based on the namanis that the father has. If the father, who isn't the one that gives birth to the baby, and therefore has less familiarity with this child, has namanis, certainly the mother, who has this level of familiarity, particularly when the child is first born, has the namanis. Others, however, explain that it's not that the namanis of the mother is based on the namanis of the father. Rather, they explain that the namanis of the mother is a special din that Chazal gave to the mother, that at least for the first 7 days of the child's life, the mother has namanis. Which actually, this machloikis has bearing on another machloikis. The machloikis is, what will be during the first 7 days, does the father have namanis? Some Rishonim, it's actually machloikis of Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi learns that only after the first seven days does the father have namanis. The Rambam learns that he has namanis immediately. And perhaps we could explain that the machloikis of Rashi and Rambam is based on the previous machloikis we quoted. If we said that the namanis of the mother is completely built around the namanis of the father, so it could be that if the mother has namanis, the father certainly has namanis. On the other hand, if we say that this is a special din, so it could be that Chazal established that for the first 7 days it's the mother, and after the first seven days it's the father who has namanis. Kritanya, so Gemara says, there's actually a brisa that corroborates Rav Nachman's psak. Because the brisa says, Yakirenu l'acherim. The father has the ability to determine, to tell people, this is my bechor. Mikanam Rav Yehuda, Neman Adam Loimar, Ze b'ni bechor. A person has namanas to say, this is my son who's the bechor. Ukshem shnem l'adam ze b'ni bechor. And just like he has the namanas to determine his son as bechor, kach nem l'adam ze b'grusha b'chalutza. He has the namanas to say that this son of mine is a ben grusha b'chalutza. V'chachamim ein neman. Chachamim say the father doesn't have namanas. There's a machloikis v'shoinim, how to understand the opinion of Chachamim. Some explain, Chachamim ein neman, that we're saying that a father has special namanas, said Chachamim that there is no such rule that the father has special namanas. However, there are other Rishonim that suggest that the Chachamim certainly agree that the father has namanas to say that this is his son who's a Bechor. The only aspect that the Chachamim are disagreeing is regarding the Halacha ben Grusha ben Chalutza. That, the Chachamim say, the Torah did not grant the father that namanas. And in fact, the Rishonim ask, from where does Rabbi Yehuda take that not only does the father, even though the Torah says Yakir, that the father has a right to say that his son is a Bechor, from where does he take it that he has so much of a right that he could even say that the son is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? Maybe the Torah only gave him a right as far as saying he's a Bechor, but not to passel him to say he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So Tosfos asked this question, and Tosfos gives a number of answers. One answer is, by the Torah saying that a father has a right to say Zeh B'ni Bechor, that this son is a Bechor, it's a situation that the Torah is referring to where there are other children, and he's saying that the other children are not a Bechor. So obviously, what are they? It must be that the father's namanis is not limited. The father's namanis is not limited to Zebani Bechor, is not limited to Zebani Bechor, but even to say Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Another pshat that Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Eliyahu to say is that the Torah says in that parsha, we spoke about the pasuk the other day. The pasuk says that kiel ishtei noshim achas ahuva v'achas snua v'haya haben habichol snua. And as we explained in the Gemara the other day, what is the definition of snua? Snua b'nesueho, that the marriage is a marriage that the Torah doesn't condone. He married a woman he wasn't supposed to marry. So obviously the Torah is referring to a situation where he has nemonis to say ben grusha ben chalutz, that he has nemonis to say that he, that the child is a ben grusha ben chalutza. Which actually, I saw that Mefarshim suggest that this machloikis in the answer to Tosfos' question could be the basis for another question that the Mefarshim asked. The Mefarshim asked, what would be the halacha? Can a father come and say that this child is not my child? Does he only have the manas to say this is my child, but he doesn't have the manas to say it's not my child? If we're going to say the first teretz of Tosfos, that he's saying this son is a bechor, and by saying that this son is bechor, he's saying that the other children are not his bechor. So we see that the person has the manas not only to say who is his son, he's a bechor, that it's a son, that it's a bechor, there's a ben grusha ben chalutza, but he also at the same time has the manas to say that a child that everybody is assuming is his child is actually not his child. However, if we follow Rabbeinu Eliyahu's explanation, he only has the right to say that this is his child. Maybe it's a child from a marriage that shouldn't have taken place, but it's only referring to a situation that it's his child. But perhaps to say on a child that it's not his son, that far he doesn't have nemunas. Then the Mefarsh, the Rishonim, ask, how can we suggest that a father could say that this child is a ben grusha ben chalutza by saying that he's saying that he did an aveira, that he married a woman that he shouldn't have? And don't we have a klal that ain't other meismatz merosha? A person cannot be believed to say that he did an aveira. So there are a number of answers given to this question. One answer is that it's referring to a situation that he says when he married the woman, he didn't know that this woman was a grusha chalutza. So as far as he was concerned, he wasn't doing an avera. The Ritva explains that, as we're learning, the Torah gives a certain namonis to the father, and even though normally, as we just said, a person doesn't have namonis to say that he did an avera, this is an exception to the rule where the Torah does give a person namonis to say that he did an avera. The Rishash says that it's referring to a situation that everyone knows that the woman he married is a grusha. So it's not a situation of other Mason Matzman Russia that he's saying that he did something wrong and nobody knows about it. Everybody knows that what he did, that he married a grusha, and we don't rely on his testimony to say it. Says the Gemara, Abishol hayukayr l'shtuki beduki. Mishnah says Abishol would call a shtuki beduki. Ask the Gemara, my beduki, what does Abishol mean by saying beduki? Ilay mishabaitkin es imoy. Doesn't mean that according to Abishol, we asked his mother, who we see that she's pregnant, and we asked her who is the father. Vam l'kasha devalti. If she says that the father is a person of good yichus, a menace, and then we trust her, kaman, according to whose opinion does this follow? Gamliel. That's the opinion of Rav Gamliel Masechet Ksubos. Ask the Gemara Tanina Chadazimna. But we already learned Rav Gamliel's opinion one time. The Tanan, the Mishnah says Masechet Ksubos. If there's an unmarried woman who's pregnant, and we ask her what is the status of this child, this is the father was a kohen. According to Rabbi Lezer, she is believed when she says so. We can't trust what she says. So if all Abishol is saying is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, the Gemara's question is, why does Abishol have to repeat it? So before we go further in explaining this and quoting the Gemara's answer and explaining it, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the Rishonim ask that Rabbi Yeshua's statement is, Lo'i Mepiyah Anachayim, we can't trust what she says. She has to bring a raya. ask the Mefarshim, why will she bring a raya? She'll bring a raya that she had relations with a specific man, and that man is of a good yichus. Ask the Mefarshim, Pnei Shua, Kivega, what will that raya help us? We should still be concerned that just like she had relations with this man who actually has a good yichus, perhaps she had relations with other men of poor yichus. We see she's a woman who's somewhat promiscuous. So the Pnei Yeshua answers that most of the people in the world are people that will not disqualify the yichus of the child, because most people in the world are goyim, and we just learned at the end of the previous parak that Rav Kachavim Veved Habo Bas Yisrael Havlad Yisrael, and therefore we don't have to be concerned, even if we're concerned that she's somewhat a promiscuous woman. Rabbi Kivega answers differently. Kivega answers that the truth of the matter is, and we're going to speak about this more in a moment, every woman has a cheskes kashrus. So the woman actually has a cheskes kashrus that she, even if she had relations, she had relations with a kosher man. Just here, Chazal, according to Yeshua specifically, were machmer, especially since we saw that she was somewhat promiscuous. As soon as we have some proof that she had relations with a man of good yichus, that is enough for Chazal to be satisfied, for Rabbi Shui even to be satisfied that the father is a, that the father was a fine yichus, and therefore the child is all right. But ask the Gemara again to our question: why do we need Abba Shol to paskin what he paskin? Isn't that what Rabbi Gamliel already taught us in Masechta Ksubis? Answers the Gemara: Chodol Hachshava. We only have the Mishnah Ksubis only speaks about her, that she remains fit to marry a Kohen. We don't assume if she says she had relations with a person that doesn't disqualify her from ever marrying a Kohen, or if she's a Bas Kohen disqualify her from being able to eat Truma, we trust her. But it doesn't speak about the child that's born. Our Mishnah is speaking about the child that's born. Ask the Gemara, Hanich Lamandom Ledivere Machshaba Pais Levita. In Masechta Ksubis, we had a machloikis how to understand the opinion of Gamliel. One shita held that according to Gamliel, it's only she is trusted as far as herself, but not as far as her daughter. So now we could understand our Mishnah is taking this opinion a step further, that not only does it affect herself, but it affects her daughter also. Elamandom Ledivere Machshaba Machshabita. But even, according to the opinion that says that even Rabbi Gamliel holds that she is fine and her child is fine. So we're back to our question, Abba Shol Mayosel Hashminan, what's Abba Shol come to teach us? Answers the Gemara, the Abba Shol are different than Rabbi Gamliel. Abba Shol's opinion is coming to take us more. Dima Hossam, if we only had that opinion, have Amina Hossam derived Ksher Mitzvah. In a situation like there where most people she's not a married woman, so most people in the world are people that will not disqualify the child. Avahacha derived psulim etzlah. For example, Amish is speaking about an arusa. An arusa, as we've said so many times, midarais is considered a nashis ish. So any person in the world that has relations with her, it's an adulterous relationship. The only relationship that would be considered not an adulterous relationship is with her oris, Emeloi. Perhaps in this situation she should not be trusted. Tzricha comes on the shoulder to teach us that even she's trusted even if she's an arusa. And Amarava, halakha b'shol. There's a very big machloikis amongst the Rishonim. The opinion of our Gemara says that divrei machshava, machshavibita, that not only she trusted for herself, but she's even trusted for a daughter. Why? Many Rishonim say that the reason is chazaka, that the cheskes kashrus that is on the mother applies to the child also. The Magen Mishnah says that the truth of the matter is that midaraisa we should be makel, because as we learned at the beginning of the perek, a suffic mamzer midaraisa is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So we have here a situation of suffic. The only reason Chazal, the only reason she couldn't get married is because, as we learned at the beginning of the parak, Chazal were machmer on a shtuki, mala osu biyoksin. So even, since it's only a question of the Rabbanon, Chazal were more makel, and they said if the mother says that she had relations with a person with a good yichus, it's good enough. The Rosh takes a different position. The Rosh's position is, because since the mother is making a statement, babari, the mother is making a statement that she is certain that she only had relations with a person that doesn't disqualify, we accept the bari of the mother. And the question that comes up, so we have these three opinions in the Rishonim, understanding this Shita, Liver Machshava, Machshava Vita. The question is, how, what is the nafkamina between these shitas? So one nafkamina I saw is regarding the shaila of what will be the din by a ben, by a son. Amish the kibs are talking about a daughter. What will be the, Al Gemara kibs are talking about the, what will be the status of the daughter? What about the status of a son? The Gemara doesn't seem to talk about that. So if we're relying on the chazaka of the mother, perhaps the chazaka of the mother can work for the son also. Or perhaps the bari of the mother could work for the son also. But if we're saying that it's a special din with Rabbanon, maybe for the son, that the son should consider himself a kayin, that far the bari, that far Chazal perhaps were not lenient. Says the Mishnah, Kol Asurim Lava B'Kol, all people who may not marry into Klal Yisrael, Mutarim Lava Zeh B'Zeh, may intermarry with each other. Kol Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yehuda Iser. And what Rabbi Yehuda is referring to will be the subject of the Gemara, Beis Hashem Yisbar. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Vadam Bavadon Mut, or somebody who is usher to marry into the Kol is allowed to marry somebody else who's certainly not allowed to marry. For example, Mamzerim and Asinim can marry each other. However, Vadim Besfeken, a Mamzer or a Nosin with a Shtuki or an Asufi, or Sveken Bevadon, a Shtuki and a Sufi with a Mamzeris or an Asina, or Sveken Besfeken, a Shtuki or a Sufi with a Shtuki and an Asufis, all of them are awesome. The question that comes up, the reason for Rebbe Lezer is very obvious, because if we have two people who are not certain about their yichus, it may turn out that one of them is of good yichus, and one of them is really a miyuchus, and one of them is a mamzer, and we have a situation that a mamzer is marrying a kosher Jew. Who, according to Rebbe Lezer, will these people be able to marry? If Sveikin Besveikin is usher, how will they ever be able to get married? So the Rishonim suggest that Rebbe Lezer is of the opinion, something that we also, that we discussed earlier in the parak, that kahal geirim lo yukrikol, and therefore geirim certainly can marry either mamzerim or they can marry kosher Jews. So these people will only be allowed to marry geirim. Another question that Rabbi Kiva Eger asks is, why does Rabbi Lezer say sveikin besveikon is usur? Why don't we say a sek sveika? Number one is sofik if he's a mamzer. And even if we'll say that he's a mamzer, maybe the person he's marrying is also a mamzer. So it's a sfek sveika. And we know that we're always lenient by a sfek sveika. So some suggest that, going back to that concept that we've been discussing in this parak, mala osu b'yuchsin, with particularly careful by yichus, included in being careful in yichus, is that we don't rely on a sfek sveika. Rikvega, however, answers that Svek Sveika, betray Gufei, Svek Sveika, that involves two different people, we don't say. He was saying a Svek Sveika, maybe he's a mamzer, maybe he's not, and the same is Sofik on his wife. That's considered a Sofik b'shtei Gufin, and a Sofik b'shtei Gufin with two different people, we don't say. Veilan is Svekas, who are considered the people that are Sofik, Shtuki, Asufi, Vikuti. Ask the Gemara, my kol hasurim lovin b'kol. The Mishnah began with the words, kol hasurim lovin b'kol. Who does that mean? Ilema, mamzer, nesini, shtuki, v'sufi, that our Mishnah is referring to Mamzer in the Stuki Vasufi. Ask the Gemara, Hatana Lai Reisha. We already learned in the first Mishnah that Mamzer in the Sini Stuki Vasufi Mutarun Lava Zebazet. So if why would the Mishnah here need to repeat that then? And as Tosis points out on Amud Beis, on top of Amud Beis, this is not the primary question of the Gemara. Because we're going to see that the teretz that the Gemara gives doesn't really answer this question. So he says this is not the Gemara's primary question. The next question is really what is bothering the Gemara. The next question is Rabbi Yehuda Isa. The Mishnah said Rabbi Yehuda Isa. So the question is a high. Regarding which situation does it say Rabbi Yehuda Isa? Ilay mevadin besveikon, that the next, that Tanakama said that vadin besveikon are allowed to get married. And Rabbi Yehuda says they're not allowed to get married. Ask the Gemara, Hamidah Tani Sefer, since the Sefer introduces the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. That Rabbi Elazar said vadin bevadin mutin. However, vadin besveikon, besveikon besveikon asur. So obviously that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Mechlad Rabbi Yehuda loisfirle. Obviously Rabbi Yehuda holds that vadin besveikon is mutter. Otherwise, what would Rabbi Elazar be teaching us? V'chitema, so you'll say, that what does Rabbi Yehuda mean to say? Rabbi Yehuda Oyser, he's referring to the situation of a ger v'memzeres. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, a ger is not allowed to marry memzeres. Ask the Gemara, midi ger v'memzeres k'tani? Does the Mishnah begin referring to the situation of a ger v'memzeres? That Rabbi Yehuda will now be addressing it as if the Mishnah begins and teaches us that a ger may marry Mamzeres. Comes Rabbi Yehuda to say no, that the ger may not marry Mamzeres. As we know, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that way indeed, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Kahal Gerim Ikri Kol. That's not how the Mishnah began. The Mishnah just said Kol Asurim Lova Kol Tani. So how can we say that Rabbi Yehuda is specifically addressing the situation of ger b'Mamzeres? Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Hachikama. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kol Asurim Lava Bekal Kohuna. Anyone who cannot marry into a Kohen, my Ninu, and who does that mean? A Giyoris Chusun Bash Shlosh Hashanah V'Yom Echad. The like of Shim Ben Yochai. According to Shim Ben Yochai, the reason a Kohen may not marry a Giyoris is because a woman who already had relations, not in marriage, may not marry a Kohen. And therefore, a Giyoris, we have to be concerned, had those kind of relations, and a Kohen may not marry her. But since, as we know, a girl, if she has relations, when she's less than 3 years old, Pesuleh Chayzrin, it's not considered as if she had relations. According to Shimon ben Yochai, a girl less than a Giyoris less than 3 year old would be allowed to marry, if a girl became a Giyoris when she was less than 3 years old, would be allowed to marry a Kohen. That's Rav Shimon Yochai's opinion. But our Tanakhama says, Kol Asurim Lava Bekahana, a Giyoris, even any Giyoris, may not marry Kohen. Mutarim Lava Bezeh Bezeh. Mishnah is teaching us that although a Giyoris is not allowed to marry a Kohen, she's allowed to marry a Mamzer Anasim. And again, I repeat what Tosfos said. Actually, if that's what the Mishnah's opening statement is, that's already a din that we learned in the first Mishnah of the Perek. Because our first Mishnah taught us that a Giyoris may marry a Mamzer. But as we said, Tosfos says, that's not the main issue that our Gemara has with our Mishnahs. Ask the Gemara, why are we saying that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rav Shimon Yochai? But not Mibas Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Echad. Why don't we say that the Giyoris that our Mishnah is talking about is a Giyoris that's 3 years old? And then our Mishnah could follow the opinion of Shimon Yochai, because, and the Mishnah will say that Giyoris less than 3 years old will be allowed to marry Kohen. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to try to explain that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Shimon Yochai, he came at Sida Tavra. You're going to find that the Mishnah itself refutes that type. Ela Tam de Bashar Shon V'Yom Echad. The reason a girl who's a Giyoris is allowed to marry a Mamzer Anasin is because she's 3 years old. Were she younger, the Materis Lava Kal Kahuna. And therefore, as Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, she's allowed to marry a kohen. Then the halacha is asur lovas abzeh. She's not allowed to marry a mamz or a nason. Harev chus mivashal shem yamechad or shem ben yichai. It wouldn't be true. The materas. She would be not allowed to marry a mamzer. Ask the Gemara, that's not true. Because even if Shimon ben Yochai holds that Pachus Mishal Shon Yom Echad Yom Shimon ben Yochai, the Materis Lov of Kalkuna, that she actually marry Kohen, still the Aloch is Materis Lov of Zabzeh, that doesn't take away from her the status of being a Geyoris. And once she's a Geyoris, she is allowed to marry a mamzer. So if we're saying that our Mishnah is only, would be speaking only regarding a girl who's above Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Echad, the Mishnah would be difficult to understand, because the Mishnah would be implying that such a Geyoris may not marry a Mamzer. But that's not true. According to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, any Geyoris, even if she became a Geyoris when she was less than 3, would be allowed to marry a Mamzer. That's why the Tanakam of our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Shimon ben Yochai. Tanakam of our Mishnah says that a Kohen may never marry a Geyoris, and a Geyoris may marry either a regular Yisrael, not a Kohen, or she can marry a Mamzer. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying that she may not marry a Mamzer because Kal Gerim lo yikra kol. Ask the Gemara, is that an acceptable way of explaining our Mishnah, the Klolahu, the Kola Surim Lov B'Kal Kohuna, that anyone who's not allowed to marry a Kohen, Mutarim Lov Zebezeh, may marry a Mamzer, very mana Grush V'Chalol V'Zoyna, the Surim Lov B'Kal Kohuna, they certainly may not marry Kohanim, yet the Surim Lov Zebezeh, just because someone is a mana Grush V'Chalol, doesn't mean that she can marry a Mamzer. So how would we be able to understand that question? The su hamutar asur, the Mishnah implies that if someone is permitted to marry kohuna, he's not allowed to marry a mamzer. That's not true. Very ger shemutar v'kohenis. The halacha is that a ger is allowed to marry a kohenis, because as we learned earlier in our perek, lo huzru kisheros li nasei le gerim. A kohenis may marry gerim, and yet mutar mamzeris, he's also allowed to marry a mamzer. Ella amar of nois ma'ayishia hachkamer. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kol shekoyin osalisis pitoy. Anyone who a kohen may not marry his daughter. Mind you, who are we referring to? Ger shenosa geyaris. If a ger married a geyaris, ukrav lez ben Yaakov, and Rav Lez ben Yaakov will teach us later in our perek that such a woman born to parents who are both gerim may not marry a kohen, mataron lovers of zeh, allowed to marry a mamzer. Ask the Gemara for klalahu, is this indeed a halacha? The kol shekohen also lisa spitoi, that anyone whose daughter a kohen is not allowed to marry, mataron lovers of zeh, may marry a mamzer. Harei cholol shenasa bas Yisrael, in a case where cholol married bas Yisrael, that the halacha is that the child is a chalolo, and since the child is chalolo, kohen also lisa bitoy, therefore the kohen may not marry her, because a kohen may not marry a chalolo, v'sur nami lov zabezeh, but a chalolo is still not allowed to marry a mamzer, answers the Gemara, that's not a kasha. Great, destoy ben Yehuda. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of destoy ben Yehuda, that says that when a chalolo marries a Yisraelis, their daughter is not a chalolo, and their daughter is allowed to marry a kohen. So this is not a question. Ask them, we have a different question. For a chololo shenasa chololo, in a case where chololo marries a chololo, with certainly a kohen osa lisa bitoy, everybody, even Rav Destoy ben Yehuda, will agree that their daughter is a chololo, and therefore may not marry a kohen. But still, that girl, this chololo, who's born from parents who are both chololim, are not allowed to marry a mamzer. Vasu, another question, Hamuta Asr. This Mishnah, this ruling implies that if someone's daughter is allowed to marry a Kohen, she's not allowed to marry a Mamzer. So we go back to our old question. For a Gar, Shenosa Bas Yisrael, if a Ger marries Bas Yisrael, the Kohen Muta Lisa Bitoy. The halacha would be that the Kohen's allowed to marry his daughter, but yet, Mutarim Lovazabazah, the halacha is that this girl is also has the is a lot of marriage, so, because this girl was born as a Jew, but she still has some sort of a status of a geyrus that she's allowed to marry a mamzer. El amar Rav Nachman, amar Rabbi Bar Avua, hocha mamzer machoisoi or mamzer meishes ishrik menayu. The machloikis between the Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda is regarding who is a mamzer. Tanakam is sover, afilu mamzer machoisoi, even a mamzer from his sister, which is a chiv karis, nami have a mamzer, is considered a mamzer, and therefore it has all the dinim of a mamzer. A lot of being married, ger, etc. Yehuda sover, meishes ish have a mamzer, which is chiv meishes bezdin. Machoisoi, which is only a chiv karis, lo have a mamzer. So as the Rishonim explain, as Rashi helps us understand, the Gemara now retracts from the idea that the machloikis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is regarding a ger. Rather, he explains that the Tanakam holds that any situation, whether it's a chiv karis or a chiv misa, creates a mamzer. While as Rabbi Yehuda holds that only chiv maisis bezdin creates a mamzer. So this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Anybody who can't enter the congregation, whether it's chiv karis or chiv misis bezdin, are considered mamzerim, and therefore they can marry one mamzer, can marry another mamzer. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says that mamzerim, children born from chayv krisis, cannot marry children born from chayv misis bezdin, because the children born from chayv misis bezdin are mamzerim, and the children born from chayv krisis are not mamzerim. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmon, what is the Mishnah teaching us that we haven't learned? Tanina, we already noticed machloikis. Ezu mamzer, kosher b'lo yovai, divrei Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, a child born from a chivil, even chivil lavin, is considered a mamzer. Shimon atamani amir, kol shechayovim karis b'day shemayim, a chayv krisis create mamzerim, v'alocha kedvarov. Rishu amir, kol shechayovim amir mitzis bezdin. So what is the Mishnah repeating? The machloikis between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is actually the machloikis of Rabbi Shua and Shimon HaTamani. El Amar Ravi, therefore Ravi says, Ger Amoni Ma'avi Ikmenayu. The machloikis between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is regarding a Ger who is an Amoni or Ma'avi. Vach Kama. Kos, from love of the call, anybody who can't come into Klal Yisrael, Umay Niu Ger Amoni Ma'avi, Mitarm Lovers of Zeh, can marry each other. Ihachi, marry Yehuda Isa. What does Yehuda say when he doesn't allow them to marry mamzerim? Hachkama. Abi Rabbi Yehuda Isa geb mamzeris. The Mishnah is saying, Rabbi Yehuda is saying as follows. Even though normally Rabbi Yehuda says a ger may not marry a mamzer, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, kahal gerim, if we call hani mili, regarding what kind of a ger does Rabbi Yehuda speak? Ger the roy love to call a regular ger. Aval ger amoni ma'avi, but a ger amoni ma'avi, then roy in love of a kol, that they will never be accepted to Klal Yisrael. Lo yava amoni ma'avi b'kal Hashem. Loy, there Rabbi Yehuda will agree that such an individual may marry a mamzeris. So actually, as we finish the piece of the Gemara, we no longer have a machloikis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, the entire first part of the Mishnah represents Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and the Mishnah is teaching us that even though normally Rabbi Yehuda would not allow a ger to marry a mamzeris, he's teaching us that a ger, a mani and my avi, may marry a mamzeris.